This Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up is a celebration of all their best bits from today's show. The Weekly Review is celebrating the best of Melbourne. It's people, places, properties and all the things that make this truly the world's most livable city. Check out this week's issue or head to theweeklyreview.com.au.
Byron, you may be a little concerned about how deep we go right now because, Fev, there's something that you and I need to talk about and, Byron, I just have a seat for a second.
Sure.
This may be about you. Watching Crime Stoppers last night, Fev. Our mate Hitch.
You watching
Peter
what?
Hitchener, Crime Stoppers. Doing a great job.
I used to love Crime Stoppers when I was a kid.
It's great. You should still love it. It's a wonderful way to help the community arrest people.
Yeah, but this is when I was like 10 and I had my TV in my room and they come on at like 8:30 or something, you know, before the 8:30 show started.
Yes.
I'd pack myself. You'd see the story and you're like, I don't want to go to sleep.
Well, I went through a stage when I was attempting to be an actor and I was at performing arts school where I'd see a lot of my friends in the reenactments because they were the actors who were doing the reenactments. So
they're the ones probably making me scared.
Yeah. But anyway, watching it last night, I'm a little bit concerned. You'll know that our good friend Byron Cook, who also works on the show, got his face on a billboard. If we had a billboard, he's recently started riding a bike to work. Now, this is a new addition to his life, a bike. He was often Ubering or getting taxis. Now, our good friend Byron Cook, if you're listening and you're not familiar with what he looks like, he wears a cap, he wears T-shirts, and he often wears a satchel strapped around diagonally, a man bag.
It's coach, it's leather.
Now, you can't see this because it's quite visual, but I'll play it. This is Hitch last night talking about a bike theft.
This week, Crime Stoppers seeks your assistance to help identify two men who allegedly stole an expensive push bike from a Fitzroy apartment block. The first offender is Caucasian in appearance in his late 20s, wore a white T-shirt with a navy blue shirt over the top. He also wore a black cap and carried a bag around his chest.
I've been tagged, Fief, by so many people on Facebook saying, Byron Cook, you're a thief.
I got the A's wrong.
Late 20s.
I look in my late 20s.
It looks a lot older. Look at the photo. That could be you, Byron.
You?
That looks like you.
You don't look at me and ask if I actually stole the bike.
Well, you said you got that bike for $250.
I bought that bike secondhand off Gumtree.
I've known you for 15 years. You've never been interested in bikes.
It's just,
where has that come from?
What are you, a lawyer?
I don't know. I thought it was weird when you started riding a bike to work.
I didn't steal the bike. For everyone tagging me, stop it. It's defamatory.
But it's not even a man bike, Byron. You're riding the equivalent of a BMX.
Why don't we go rogue? And ring Crime Stoppers and say we've got him here.
Well, I don't think you could do that. That's a waste of resources.
I'm very happy to get in touch with Crime Stoppers. But in the meantime, I mean, Byron, if you're feeling unfairly maligned at the moment.
I am.
I reckon there are people out there who genuinely have been accused of crimes that they didn't commit. Like,
Chappelle Corby.
Not serious.
Well, that's quite extreme. No, I was just meaning.
Maybe come back a bit from there.
Let's find a middle ground between Byron hypothetically stealing that bike and Chappelle Corby being locked up in a Bali prison.
I don't think we're
going to
take calls from death row, Fev.
No.
Well, there's a lot of people on death row.
But maybe somebody has looked like you too. Like, it's true.
It would happen all the time, especially with Crime Stoppers videos where you're getting tagged.
Byron,
and it's like, that's not me.
The truth is, and I'm a good friend of yours, many of your mates rewound it to watch it again. Now, that's just proof how much that looked like you.
And how little they trust me as a human.
Yeah.
And they think I'm capable of
theft. Have you been mistaken for a criminal?
Okay,
have you actually had the knock on the door from the cop saying somebody's dobbed you in from Crime Stoppers?
Well, let's see.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Plenty of calls because people think we're working with a criminal.
That's not why they're calling.
And it's not me.
If you watched Crime Stoppers last night with Peter Hitchener on Channel 9, it seems that our flat cap back wearing cap wearer, is that what you would call that cap?
It's a snapback. I don't wear it backwards.
Snap cap.
I'm not Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit.
You wear a man bag and you're tall and you ride a bike. Suspiciously, you've only ridden it for a few weeks.
This week, Crime Stoppers seeks your assistance to help identify two men who allegedly stole an expensive push bike from a Fitzroy apartment block. The first offender is Caucasian in appearance in his late 20s, wore a white T-shirt with a navy blue shirt over the top. He also wore a black cap and carried a bag around his chest.
You and Trent Wheeler.
Yeah, you're one friend.
Because you've got no other friends.
So you've worked it out. It's me and my only mate, Trent Wheeler.
Well, who else would it have been?
Well, he lives in Sydney, so
he must have come down to watch the footy with you.
I didn't steal the bike.
We've all studied a still of that person, and it looks like you, Byron, and I don't know. The onus is on us as citizens of this community to dob you in.
Okay. Well, here's the thing.
It's a 92% match.
If I stole this bike, why would I talk about it on radio?
Because that's where you're smart. You're a smart. Clever criminal. You're one of those Machiavellian types. You know right. what you're doing.
Talk about it, and then people go, oh, obviously it wasn't him.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then when you walk out of court, you go, ha, 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 sucker.
But if by chance you are innocent of this crime, which we strongly think is not the case, people do get, not convicted, but people get accused of things they didn't do.
Convicted.
And they look like people on Crime Stoppers. You can't help it. It's not your fault if you look like
somebody.
I
look a lot like that guy, and he is in his early 20s, and I'm much older, but that's because I'm pretty fresh.
Lisa from Epping. Hi, Lise.
Hi.
Lisa, have you been wrongly accused of a crime?
I did. I was 11 years old and I was over at my friend's house. I got accused of taking her mother's ring and found out a few years later that it was a lady over the road.
Oh. So you had to, for 2 years, you were considered the ring thief?
Yep. I got accused as a child of taking something that I didn't do. Oh.
Lisa, I hear you because I will never forget when a packet of Tim Tams went missing. From Mum used to hide them in the oven.
Hers was expensive jewellery.
And Mum looked at my brother Cameron and I and she said, who took the Tim Tams? And I unfortunately have what I think is a birth defect where I go bright red when I'm being accused of something. So Mum said, it's you. And to this day, it was my brother who ate all those Tim Tams. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.
Lisa's sympathising with you after being accused of something far more
serious.
Yeah,
there's nothing worse than when you're wrongly accused. Mm. Mel from Preston. Hi, Mel.
Hi.
Mel, have you been wrongly accused? Are you looking for justice?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. No, I used to write all over my school books in like a sort of a jaggedy graffiti writing. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, the school just was covered in it after a long weekend. And I got pulled in and they're saying, you know, is it you? And I'm saying no. And then they're sort of like, well, you know, we're going to expel you. And I'm like, no, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I had no proof. They let me off, but I don't think they really believe me.
Oh, that can almost be worse when people just think you're bad. But Mel, on another point, do you believe Byron could be the bike thief?
Okay, that's not the question.
No, because there's heaps of dudes that meet that description. Sorry, Byron.
Yeah, you're
Thank
pretty
you
common. Yeah, you raise another good point.
Well, what?
He's very generic looking.
Good looking guys in their late 20s.
It's really bad when people do accuse people of doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. At the footy club, I used to play this game, and I'd always be there last because I always muck around, and I got FOMO, so I had to wait till everyone else left before I left. So I'd get cups of cordial in the Powerade and I'd stick them in the people's locker. So when they opened it in the morning, it'd go all over them. And they thought it was this one of the young boys. It went on for about half a year and it was me every single time. So I'd make sure I get there real early and I'd sit down and pretend I was like studying the game plan or something and they'd open their locker, bang, Powerade. And they'd be blaming that one person every time. And he literally would go red. And I'm like, another one.
How did I know Fev's story would be the complete opposite of what we're talking about?
Good though.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I came across this story last night, guys. Wayne Rooney.
I know him. He's a footballer in the UK.
He's a soccer player, yes. Plays for Man U, captain. Played, I think he's played the most games and scored the most goals for England.
Had a hair transplant.
Correct.
It's one of his many things on his resume.
Married Colleen, cheated on her with prostitutes.
Whoa.
Yes, old ladies.
Oh, they were.
They were older ladies.
More senior,
yes.
See, I know footy, Fev. Don't worry about that.
But that's not why he's in the news today. He played a European League home game against Rostov. Anyway, I think they're Russian. Anyway, a couple of days ago, and his missus and kids were away, so he thought he'd pop into the Manchester Casino at 12 o'clock.
Midnight.
He was there for 2 hours, sipped a bit of beer. Got on the roulette and blackjack tables and started chasing his bum.
What does that mean?
Means he lost a little bit and then kept trying to bet big. He lost.
To win back what he lost.
To win back what he'd lost. He lost $1 million Aussie.
What?
In 2 hours.
2 hours?
2 hours.
No, that
is... Over 500,000 euro.
That is so outrageous. You're going to probably tell me he's loaded so he won't miss
it. I'll get to that right now. He earns $25 million a year. So it's not going to really break his bank, but he's had a history of gambling. I think he was in debt to some of the boys, $1.3 million in a change room gambling thing. You know, he played poker and stuff. In debt $1.3 million back in 2006.
Jeez!
And he come out in his book. He early in his career he lost something like $100,000, and his missus Colleen was filthy with him, and it come out in his book and. he said to himself that he was rapt that they came out because it forced him to face up to his habit. But I think it's crept back in
$1 million in 2 hours, Fev. That is sickening. Like, honestly, for me, that is sickening. And speaking of losing money, and he's obviously got a little problem there. See, you, and I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, but no, because I'm saying this naively. Oh, gosh, he's looking nervous. I don't know much about gambling. I'm not a gambler. I like a bit of recreational poker, but I don't really know what I'm doing.
No, but the old charity poker events. Yeah, those people always win.
I do really well. I've been on the last table with Morning and Joe Hashem. It's amazing.
Frustrating.
But, Fev, you have and maybe gamble?
Yeah, I was a gambler.
You were a gambler. So do you know what that feels like? Because I imagine if I go, I've lost 100, I feel sick and I leave. What's that chasing the tail thing? Have you done that?
Yeah, most gamblers do. I don't think Wayne would have worried too much. I think he just would have gone home and jumped in his $85 million pad and said, well, I'm still going to earn 25 mil. But, so I used to gamble a fair bit. And when you do lose, when you win money, so just say you bet 10 bucks and you win 100, you're going to bet the 100. So the more money you have, the more you bet.
But
which
see,
is weird.
My mentality is, oh, great, I've got some money to spend.
Yeah, but that, I think for a gambler's mentality, it's the chase. It's the thrill of that actually winning.
Mm.
And I used to bet a lot on horses, and it was that quick minute that you watched, and you get the rush.
Yeah.
But then when you win, you get excited, and you're like, oh, this is, and you want to bet more, and you want to win. But eventually you're going to lose because you keep betting bigger and bigger and bigger and then you lose. And I'll take it back to a time where I was in Queensland and it was a Wednesday afternoon and I started, I had a bookie. So I had $2,000 credit in my account and I was having a really good day. And by 3 o'clock the next morning, I was betting at Hong Kong, not knowing anything about the horses, just having a little bit of fun. I ended that morning 363,000 in front.
Yeah.
Told Alex, told everyone, oh, this is amazing. She's like, can you get it out? So I rang the bookie the next day to try to get it out. But then when you got a book, you can't get it out to the Monday.
Oh, no.
So Sunday night, I was 20 down. So
you
I lost 360 in 3 days.
Whoa. Is that your biggest loss in
gambling?
Out of interest, I know horses, it was your thing. What about at a casino? What would have you walked out losing?
Yeah, I don't really bet. You've never done. Yeah, I don't. I just play poker, which is a bit different.
I just wonder, 300 grand.
Would it be, I'm just thinking, would it be that when that money lands in your account, the 363,000 that you've won, is it almost like you haven't worked for it so it doesn't even feel real? Is it like you just, it's pretend, it's like it's Monopoly money or something?
Well, you're exactly right, Byron. So when it's in your account, you don't actually have the money in your hand. So you're just ringing up and saying numbers. You're like, bang, bang, and you don't even realise. And then when it's all gone, you're like, oh, geez.
But have you ever had lost, so that was money you made that you didn't really have. Have you gone into savings and gone, oh, gosh, I've lost a lot of our money?
Yeah, I did. And hence why Alex probably left the first time when we were up in Brisbane. She went back because of the gambling. And then now she looks after all the accounts, which is good. So I don't really gamble a lot anymore.
When did you know you had a problem? When did it go?
Well, you don't think you have a problem when you're doing it because you're just caught up in that bubble of gambling and you just think, but now you just think, oh, geez, what an absolute idiot. Because it's just for a cheap thrill.
Have you ever, because, you know, there's a lot of discussion about pokies and I've never even played a pokie.
Yeah, pokies aren't really.
No, but could you, because you've got a gambling mentality, is it dangerous for you? Like if you were in a pokie room, could you end up getting addicted?
Not on pokies, but I stayed at the casino on the weekend and didn't even go down to play any tables and that because it just doesn't interest me playing blackjack and roulette and all that sort of stuff. But it is an addictive thing. It's a really bad addiction to have, and it obviously cripples a lot of people's lives.
Well, it's
which
great
is,
that you share it too, Fev, and you sharing it. 13 10 60. If anyone's listening and can relate, and maybe like Fev, I mean Fev, you lost 300 grand.
Yeah.
Well,
I said to myself then, I didn't lose that because I'd already won it.
Yeah, I know.
So it's so weird, but you did. You lost it. And so the worst thing, it didn't actually affect me too much, but it affects your family.
Of course.
And that's the bottom line, you know, Alex and the kids, because you lose that much money and then you go back into other money and then you don't have money. So
it would be interesting to hear from other people. What have you lost? Now, that can be how much, yeah. but also what's it cost you in your life?
Yeah.
Family, friends,
we can change
jobs.
Names.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Yeah, so I brought up a story about Wayne Rooney overnight losing close to $1 million in a casino. And then I touched on a little bit of what I went through and the family back in the day, you know, winning 365 large or three and then losing it and being owed $20,000 to a bookie 4 days later. And it got to the point where
so much money.
My last year at Brisbane, when I got the boot, I think I lost my whole wage that year.
That people can't see you're very.
And I was on big bucks.
You're really well adjusted about all that.
A lot of goals.
But there will be people listening, and myself included, who can't fathom that. Mm. Like a lot of people listening lose $100 and go, "That's a shocking night."
Mm.
You're talking about losing yearly salaries.
Yes.
Did you ever get counselling or go to any Gamblers Anonymous?
I went to a mental institution and we discussed it in there. That might have ticked a few of those boxes.
I know. It's fascinating.
That threw you a bit, didn't it?
Well, it did. No, because you're right. You did, obviously.
Yeah.
And to see that there is light at the end of the tunnel and you can come through this. It is great to hear these stories, though, just for people to know if they've got these sort of addictions, they're not alone.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we have Tim from Cranbourne on the line. Timmy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So I used to be a pretty bad gambler. Every week I used to spend my weekly wage around $700 at the pokies. Thanks to my wife who sat me down and pointed out what was going on and how much money I was spending. Now I set myself a budget and I'm lucky to spend $10 a fortnight.
Well, that's really
good on you, mate.
And the best thing that Timmy said was about his wife. And obviously, if I didn't have Alex, who knows what.
Well, you hear lots of relationships fall apart because of it, though.
Yeah, well, ours did. And then, you know, she obviously says how it is and this is what you're costing and we've got no money, like, 'cause you lost everything. And then she started up Runway Room, you know, from scratch. And now he's humming and I'm just hanging onto the coattails.
Stacey in Greensboro. Hi, Stace.
Hi.
Good, Stace. Now, is it this right? You're with a gambler.
Yeah, look, we've been dating for about 4 years now. In the first 2 years, I thought he was loaded and he kept telling me all this stuff about money, buying me things, and he lied for about 2 to 3 years and I found out, and then I did want to leave, but I just held on tight. And then we're getting married next year and he's been having relapses.
Right. So he did make his way through it, Stace, and to the point where you're now prepared to commit.
Yeah.
When you say he's relapsing, is he open with you about that, or are you noticing money is going missing?
Well, I did notice money was going missing, and then I'm like, doesn't seem right. So I asked him and he said he's been gambling a couple of times. And we've been... Sorry.
Does that make you nervous? I mean, you're about to get married. And
yeah, it does. It does, because we're already struggling for money with the wedding. So this is like it does make me nervous. It makes me think, like, am I making the right choice?
Did he go and get help?
He did, but he said it didn't help. So then he stopped getting help.
I feel like that, and we've got obviously the Gamblers Helpline, 1-800-858-858. Maybe Stace, you love him and you want this future with him. And if it's that important to you and him, I think you should try to seek help together and say you're doing this with him, because I don't know, having not suffered an addiction, but having known people that do, regardless of what the addiction is, gambling, alcohol, drugs, when they say they don't need help and it doesn't help them, sometimes that's the brain. That's the gambler going, I don't want to stop gambling. So he does need help.
Yeah.
And if he wants his future with you, which he obviously does, Stace, I suggest you go down that path and make him
100%,
do it with you.
Deep down, you know that it's a problem.
Yeah.
But you just don't want to, because it's an addiction.
Yeah, and he'll have to face that. And you can understand as well, you think about Stacey, she's looking at things like mortgages on houses.
That's,
you know,
not
with
a
repayments
fun
on a mortgage, you want to trust that money's going to be there when it comes to paying your house off each month.
It'll be tough love time for Stace at some stage.
Thanks.
Good luck, Stacey.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks to all the calls, many of which didn't get through. But Fief said the number as well. There's a responsiblegambling.vic.gov.au website if you need any help with that one.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron took a call from Bev from Melton.
I have a six-year-old son. His name's Logan. He has spina bifida. I had birthday parties where we've invited classes and kinders and no one's come along.
For his next birthday, Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron are putting on a party for him.
Let's put on a party for kids that do get left out.
Logan's seventh birthday party.
That's right, we are putting on a big birthday party for Logan. We were so touched to hear about Logan's story the other day by his mum, Bev, and so many other parents. We must point out, we got inundated by mums and dads crying when they were calling our producers because their kids similarly go through exclusion at school, and we all know what that's like at some stage in our lives, but maybe we've never felt it as acutely as a child who has a birthday party and no one turns up, or maybe never gets asked to other kids' birthday parties. So for Logan's birthday party, we are inviting all of those kids, and if you're a mum or dad right now and you've your heart's broken and you've cried yourself to sleep at night wondering why you can't get your friends to play with your child, we want them to come along. And we're going to speak now to Bev herself, mum of Logan. How are you, Bev?
Good morning, guys. I'm super overwhelmed. I'm doing well.
Oh, good, Bev. I mean, look, you broke our hearts the other morning, and we've been inundated. Does Logan, is he aware of what we're planning here for him?
Yes. I have you guys on the radio, as you guys know, every morning. So we've been listening, and he keeps hearing his name, and he's a little bit like he started to cry the other day. And I said, "What's the matter, mate?" And he said, "I'm just so happy." And that just absolutely got me. And then I've had the response from mums have just been absolutely amazing. We've had inboxes from lots of different mums just wanting to catch up on a play date or, you know, if there's anything that they can do. And, you know, they've just been amazing and supporting us. And this is just, we didn't expect anything like this. So it's been huge.
Well, that's amazing, Bev. And we've also been inundated with a lot of requests about going to the party and also people jumping on board. Whiz Fizz, Caitlin yesterday jumped on board and they're offering free Whiz Fizz bags to every kid that goes.
Lolly bags. Fev's been sampling the merchandise.
I sampled the merchandise today. And the Whiz Fizz balls with chewy sherbet centres are amazeballs. And also, Nath from Court Jester Fancy Dress is donating costumes, which is amazing. So, and that's not the big news, Bev. The big news is our venue and a Fifi box can let you know where we're having it.
Well, Bev, I know that you even said to Sondra, our producer, the other day, would it be okay if some of Logan's cousins or aunt and uncle came along? And we were trying to explain to you that we're trying to build the biggest party Logan's ever been to for him.
Biggest party ever.
And to give you a sense of that, Bev, Logan's seventh birthday party is going to be at Margaret Court Arena.
Oh, my Margaret, goodness, are you serious?
Yes, Little Mix are playing there very soon, but so is Logan. It's his seventh birthday party at Margaret Court.
So there's going to be a few people there.
There's going to be a few people, Beth. Wow. We're going to fill that arena with so many kids for Logan to play with. He can look around himself, and he might not have had anyone turn up at his sixth birthday party, but he's going to have an arena full of people there for his seventh birthday party, Bev.
Oh my goodness, this is amazing. I can't wait to tell him. He's actually sitting here now saying, "Mum, where is it?"
Well, you just tell him it's in the heart of Melbourne and it's not really a venue anyone else will ever be able to hire out for their birthday party.
I think a couple of weeks later, Little Mix are headlining there. So, you know, it's not a bad little room.
Oh, it's amazing. It's just fantastic. I can't believe everything that's happening. You guys are just wonderful. I can't believe it. Thank you so much.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Logan's seventh birthday party.
We're still on a high because Logan's seventh birthday party, it was only a few days ago, we said, you know what, we should put on a little party for Logan because nobody turned up to his birthday last year when he turned six and he's got one friend at school. And we thought, no, we're not going to let any kids go through this. We're going to put on the seventh birthday party, but I never imagined it would be at Margaret. Margaret Court Arena.
Yeah.
Margaret Court Arena, and a big reminder that we want all kids to come, particularly kids that are being excluded, like Logan. And I think I just want to remind mums and dads, this is for your kids too. And as a community, we have to make sure that we look after all these kids that are being left out and bullied, and it's not right. And this is gorgeous. We've just had an unsolicited call from Jaden from Melton. Hi, Jaden.
Hello.
Now, Jaden, you're 12. You're at school. You've got mates, and you're travelling well. But you wanted to say something to Logan.
Yes. I want to just be a really good friend to Logan, and I just want to show that I care for him, and you know he's happy at his birthday party.
Oh, Jaden, you've made me cry.
Me too.
Sweet.
What's he done?
Jaden, that is so beautiful. What a just a gorgeous boy you are, Jaden. That is so sweet. And
thank you.
That's just lovely, Jaden.
I live in the same town too.
You do, there in Melton. And Logan, I'd love to hear that, because I think you know, Jaden. You know when you look around you and there's kids that don't have friends. That's horrible, isn't it? It's heartbreaking. So what a wonderful. Yeah. Beautiful gesture, Jaden, and hopefully your mum and dad let you come to Logan's birthday party.
Yeah.
Well done, Jay, man.
Good on you, man. We've got some really cool stuff planned as well, like lots of awesome stuff. It's at Margaret Court Arena. Did you hear the news? It's like a 10,000 seat venue.
And there's still a bit.
We're gonna need a lot of whispers.
Hey, whispers are just driven off the road.
They've got into receivership.
Margaret Court Arena. Sorry, what? Anyway, there's been a petition put out too for Ziggy the Swan.
Oh, Ziggy, the Sydney Swans mascot's going to turn up, is he?
They want you to dress up as
why? But no matter what we do, no matter how unimportant or important it is, I always end up dressed up as a mascot. Anyway, 27 past 8. Thanks for that call, Jaden.
You're welcome.
It's
gorgeous.
It's the Fox. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Hey, Fev, what do you think about this? Kirsten Dunst, actress, Hollywood actress. Haven't seen her in anything recently, but I think Spider-Man
took her and they got married.
They did, didn't they?
Had a good old time, I think.
But anyway, she's saying
Peter
that,
Parker.
Caught in the web.
She's talking about how she feels like an aging actress and she's only 35. And she there's often a discussion about the, you know, ageism in Hollywood. But it's an interesting one because I don't know that I necessarily agree with her on this. Mm. I don't think it's the age, necessarily the age of an actor. I often think it's how long they've been acting, because I would cite Amy Schumer or even a Tina Fey who start becoming recognised at the age of 35. I mean, Amy Schumer couldn't be hotter right now. Trainwreck she did when she was 35. And Tina Fey, I'd say from 35 onwards is when her star rose. But I feel like I grew up with Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, good point.
I was at school watching Kirsten Dunst in Little Women. So you start to just want new blood, maybe. Maybe that's more what it is in Hollywood at the moment.
Yeah, there's another story I watched on, might have been Good Morning America This Morning or Al on yesterday. Samantha off Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah, Kim Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall come out on one of those shows and said she's left Hollywood. And she's starting up maybe a Netflix show because she can't get a job because of her age.
Okay.
Is that similar? She can't. She thinks she can't work in Hollywood because she's too old.
Well, it's interesting. See, ageism's everywhere. Ageism's in every industry, and it does affect men in the same similarly to women. But obviously, yes, for a profession like acting, where traditionally women have been in many cases the trophy wife or the good looking girlfriend of an actor. I can see it definitely affects them. But I think there are just some examples, though, of women that flourish in their 30s and 40s because they haven't necessarily been on the screen for long.
Yeah, what about young men?
Because we can get fatigued by actors and you want to see a new face.
Yeah, you do. And I thought that was going to be the case when I starred in Neighbours, but I haven't got another gig since.
Oh, because you haven't been on the big screen yet. You've yet to actually make it. You will be on the screen any day now. And hey, just quickly, speaking of Amy Schumer, sorry, I've got some other breaking news. She's broken up with her boyfriend.
Oh,
wow.
If anyone who follows Amy on Instagram or social media, I actually believed in that one. I thought she's got herself a carpenter. She's very open about it.
Was he really a carpenter?
Yeah, he made furniture.
Right.
He was. What I'm saying is he wasn't another Hollywood star.
Yeah, no, of course.
And she was only 2 weeks ago.
Not enough nails in the relationship, mate.
Or too many. The final nail.
Ooh, well done.
No, but she was only a few weeks ago saying this was the first relationship where she didn't feel she dragged the guy into it.
And that was a special scoopler from people.
Thank you for
just
all of that.
That was a nice, interesting piece of information.
There was some great gossip. The other tie-in there right at the end is, Fev, When do we see Fev on Neighbours? Because there is a bit of a leak out there in the sort of the online world. And if that is the scene, all I'm saying is that
don't
is
blink.
It's underwhelming.
Yeah, but don't blink when you're watching, because you may miss it. It's a bit like when Fief was in Justin Bieber's movie.
I was, put it this way, I was in Justin Bieber's movie for longer.
No, you weren't.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Now, we all know with Trump becoming president that there has been a lockdown with immigration to the States, and it's getting very difficult, and more stories are coming to light of travellers who are going over to the US just for a holiday being detained. But a really full-on harrowing story was put up on Facebook by Molly Hill and her experience she had going to Hawaii for what was hopefully a fun holiday. Now, we've got Molly on the line. Hi, Molly.
Hi, good morning.
Molly, thank you for joining us. And we can imagine, after what you've been through, you probably don't really want to rehash it. Fev and I have read your post on Facebook. Molly, it sounds like an absolute nightmare, and we hate to get you to relive it, but can you tell everyone listening what you went through and how you ended up in a federal prison in the United States?
Yeah. It's still, I think I'm still processing it, to be honest, but I'm very happy to be home. Yeah, I was off to Hawaii to visit my boyfriend who lives over there, and I've had no problems earlier in the year visiting him and having a holiday. I was really excited when I arrived in Honolulu on Monday morning. Customs pretty much called me into the interview room, which I kind of thought that, you know, not great, but, I had a return ticket with Qantas. I ticked all my boxes and, I was just excited mostly. I pretty much spent from 9:30 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon in and out of those rooms being interrogated. They opened all my suitcases and just went through every single thing. At the end of the day, they said they'd reached the decision that they thought I was planning to live there and
Molly,
not use my return ticket.
Molly, the reason why they said that is because they went through your diary, what I'm reading, and you said going away, drinks, last day at work. So they thought that you were actually going to stay there with your boyfriend and you weren't on a working visa. You were actually going to live there illegally. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So they thought that I was wanting to, never come back.
So then, Molly, fast forward us to the next bit where you're in a federal prison, stripped naked, And going through do you mind sharing with people what you were forced to do?
Yeah, so I had all of my property taken off me. There was a lot of waiting around, and then finally they said there's no other flights to Australia today. If you want to fly to Melbourne, you'll have to stay in this detention centre, she described it as, and then said it's basically a prison, but you won't be able to have the right to make any phone calls. And from there, I was frisked and handcuffed, and I was wearing cuffs, in the car on the way the detention centre. And when I arrived, it was clearly a prison. And
why did they put you in cuffs?
I don't know.
I don't think they explain much, Fev. They don't have to.
I don't understand why she's got cuffs on. She's just come for a holiday.
They can do
it. I think the idea is they think that I'll run away at any point. I'm not really sure.
Unbelievable.
And then then you had to take your clothes off, put on prison uniform.
That's ridiculous. Orange is the new black style.
It was exactly like the movies, and they just said, took me into a room that was not super private. Strip down, take off all your clothes, and I would just have to double check, you mean right here and now? I had to shake my hair and... She was saying, you need to squat and cough, the usual. And I said, I've never done that in my life.
Someone going to Hawaii to see their boyfriend on holiday.
And how did the other inmates, because you become an inmate, how did they treat you in there?
Yeah, so I was told you'll have your own room and it's separate to the prison. Everyone I met, funnily enough, was lovely to me and excited to meet an Australian. They were inmates with felonies they were American citizens.
Unbelievable.
Serving time. Some had been there for a year, but it was exactly like the movies. It was crazy.
Molly, that is, and what a story to tell anyone else that this can now happen. You might think you're going over for a holiday to America. to think you could end up in a prison with inmates, felons, who were convicted felons, stripped naked. I mean, to squat and cough. This is Molly, you're going over to Hawaii to visit your boyfriend.
I haven't seen your Facebook profile, and this is just a politically incorrect question. I'm going to ask it anyway because I want to know what's going through, incorrectly, the minds of the officials, because I'm in and out of America about eight times a year, right?
But you're going soon.
Let's call it, I'm just a white dude, and it's wrong, but no one's asking me anything. I haven't even seen your Facebook profile. Is your ethnicity a non-Caucasian, Molly?
No. No, my parents are Australian. If anything, I sometimes look a little Italian.
Right, so it's not even that.
I'm
Molly.
No, which
I'm
wouldn't
very,
be right, but no. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Molly, we're so sorry to hear about that, but thank you for sharing this story. And I know that it was brave of you to put it on your Facebook page, and I think it's so important that we share this. This is something that people need to think about when
Thanks,
they go to
Molly.
The States.
Thank you.
Hey, I can't wait to when Byron goes to the States in a couple of weeks. I hope you get detained.
Molly, you can't laugh at that.
Well, she's back now.
Yeah, she is back. She can laugh at it. Anyway, that's it for us. And thank you for Molly for sharing that story.
Big white giraffe coming into this little prison.
Oh, wow. You are a weirdo. Okay. Old School 9 at 9 is coming up next. Sarah Marie is in, filling in for Buzz, who's filling in for Keegs.
Hey, just so a quick shout out. Just a quick shout out to one of Fox's old employees, Sarah, and my good mate Troy Selwood, who had baby Sadie yesterday.
Oh,
so
congratulations, Sarah and Troy.
Bunno. I used to live with him in Brisbane.
Oh, and they're lovely, and I know Sarah and I work together.
Yeah, there you go. Small world.
Jules
congratulations
Lund's cousin
to both
too.
Of them. Yeah,
we're all related.
Small world.
You can't call in to win prizes during Fifi, Dave, Feb and Byron catch-ups. But now this one's over, you can head to theweeklyreview.com.au and enter to win their golden ticket, valued at over $10,000.